This is AgriPulse Open Mic, sponsored by the crop insurance industry. Protecting over 272 million acres of farmland across the U.S., crop insurance is key to the financial stability of America's farmers and ranchers, enabling them to supply our country with food and fiber. Crop insurance, providing peace of mind now and for the future of agriculture.
Jack, welcome to AgriPulse Open Mic.
My pleasure to be with you, and I hope your new year is off to a good start.
Fresh from an Election Day victory, you and other members of the Ohio Farm Bureau delegation in Seattle shared with American Farm Bureau convention goers your strategy to take ownership of the farm animal care issue and knock down an attempt by the Humane Society of the United States to impose its agenda on the state's livestock and poultry growers. It was obvious in Seattle that the efforts of Ohio Farm Bureau were well received by other Farm Bureau members around the country. You sort of received a hero's welcome.
Well, I hope part of it's deserved, but I'm very aware that this was one step, one effort on behalf of farmers and consumers dealing with our livestock industry, particularly livestock for food production, and I hope that we're encouraging all farmers and ranchers to engage in a more extended dialogue with our consumers.
I'd like for you to take us back to about a year ago. HSUS let Ohio Agriculture in on the fact that it was going to try to compel the state's producers to change their animal husbandry practices by one of two ways, ballot initiative or legislation. How important was that heads up?
I think it, in hindsight here, it's pretty evident that to be successful, we had to be proactive, and we had to control the animal care, animal welfare message. If, in fact, you ask our consumers today their very narrow question about housing practices for poultry, pork, and veal, a very high percentage of people would say to the question, should an animal be allowed to turn around? Yes, they should. And that's kind of been part of their success in California, Arizona, and Florida, in terms of asking that very specific question. We thought it was important for us to broaden the definition and take in all the elements relative to animal housing. Now, we've been at this for a long, long time. It's a lot of these practices have been developed through our land-grant university. They're research-based. They're the latest technology. And so when you talk about, when you ask the animal care question from our perception, it's not just about can the animal turn around, but are we taking into account animal safety? Are we taking into account worker safety? Are we thinking about food safety? Are we thinking about efficiency? Are we talking about individual treatment relative to animal health and rations? And when you broaden the question and to take into account all that we do in animal agriculture, then that starts to share a different perception and to bring to the consumer other things to consider. And certainly we pointed out that the bond between farmers and ranchers and their animals is strong as it possibly can be. Farmers and ranchers get up in the middle of the night to check their animals. They're so much more observant on a day-to-day basis than people like to think. We had to point out all of the things that we take into account for animal care and animal welfare. And when we did that, our Ohio consumers related to that message.
Most of us are two or three generations removed from the farm, and yet you polled very well, even in Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. What was the secret to communicating that message to folks in the big cities?
we learned from our consumers that they had an interest in several things. High on their priority list was local food production. You know, there's a lot of enthusiasm today about farm markets and local production, and indeed they told us that. We want to make sure that we can do a good job of preserving the opportunity and providing food in the state of Ohio. We talked about that message and what does that mean and how does that tie to the issue two element. We also found out that Ohioans wanted to govern themselves. They were very interested in the fact that Ohio farmers were going to take the initiative and reach out and engage in this discussion on animal care standards for the future, learning what they are today and how we might tweak them in the future. And the fact that out-of-state activists wanted to tell us how to do that did not go over very well. They wanted us to govern ourselves. And when you put that local production and self-governance together with the fact that in Ohio, one out of seven jobs from the farmer to the customer's plate is part of our industry. Indeed, we're number two in egg production. We're number nine in pork production, number four in veal production. And when we tied it back to this economic foundation in the state of Ohio and the number of jobs that it entails, that message was also very well received.
All campaigns cost money. Did you find it difficult to raise the amount of money that was necessary to mount an aggressive multimedia ad campaign?
Well, we did, and the first thing we did was reach out to farmers to share what the threat is, how serious it is, how they've been successful, and how they're going to probably cause some changes in Ohio if we don't do something. And so we spent a little time doing that and then shared with farmers and agribusiness and all consumers, here's what we need to do, here's our commitment, and it takes resources to share this message. And that's how we started. We had very strong support from individual farmers across the state, several of our state farm bureaus, our county farm bureaus, the pork industry, the egg industry, our input folks and research folks in agribusiness were very supportive. And so in the end, when we showed that we had a fairly aggressive plan, a proactive plan, and one that we thought could be successful, we were able to raise about $5 million in this campaign to get our message out. Not only were we able to talk about issue two and the creation of the Livestock Care Board, but a great deal of those dollars were also committed to informing and educating and making our consumers aware about the 2010 food production system in the United States.
In preparing for this interview, I was looking for a theme. I kept coming back to how to take on HSUS and win. And then it occurred to me that HSUS on election night wasted little time putting Ohioans and the coalition that put issue two together, put you on notice that they were not done here at all. Quoting here from Wayne Pacelli, a statement, now that the issue two campaign is over, we can get on with real reform. The question to you is, has the fight really only begun?
Yes. The HSUS folks are very passionate. They are well-financed. They have a lot of resources, and they're committed to accomplish these things one step at a time. And so we need to be aware of that. I have high respect for how effective they are, but we will continue to engage in this long-term debate.
Do you anticipate HSUS seeking signatures to put its own ballot initiative before Ohio voters here in the next year or so?
We are preparing right now that they may collect signatures here in 2010 and come back on the ballot in November of this year. They've done some preliminary things through the Secretary of State's office that they need to do to enable them to collect signatures and to take steps to pursue a ballot initiative.
HSUS is not only eyeing Ohio, but other states and their campaign to improve, in their view, the treatment of farm animals. Missouri is a state that seems to be on the radar of HSUS as well. For states like Missouri, what advice would you have for them based on your experiences?
First and foremost, agricultural unity. And by that I mean all farm organizations, Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, the commodity groups, equine, probably even including the companion animal folks with dog kennels and the like. All of us need to work together in terms of putting together a campaign, a message about animal care from our perspective. And they like to divide and conquer. My personal opinion is that they were successful in some of the states, and most recently legislatively in Michigan, because they were able to get agriculture to work against each other. And that takes a lot of commitment and work on the behalf of all farmers. We have the banning of horse slaughter going on at the federal level. We have food versus fuel issues and the cost of rations on one hand for our livestock producers and a market for our grain producers. We have farm size issues. We have production practice issues, organic versus contemporary practices. We have all these things that can divide us if we don't put them in front of us immediately and strive for ag unity in our state. So that's issue number one. Number two is to be proactive. Don't wait until the animal rights folks come to your state. Start to draft and be in charge of the animal welfare message in your state. What are the things that you can do to deal with bad actions and to improve the image of our industry, learn about the perceptions and concerns of our consumers? We have a very high trust factor with our consumers, but things are changing, and we need to reinitiate that dialogue so we enhance the trust factor again. We need to be transparent about what we do. And then I think the last part is put a face on American agriculture. We are a very high percentage of the industry, farm families. And so share with our customers who we are, what we do, and how we're an integral part of all of our communities. And when they understand that and know that, that's one of the big steps in reinitiating that trust factor that's been so good for so long between farmers and consumers.
Jack Fisher is Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau, which was part of the coalition that passed Issue 2 in Ohio. Jack, again, thanks for your time here on AgriPulse Open Mic.
So pleased to have the opportunity to talk with you, Stuart, and again, one more time, encourage all of our farmers and ranchers in this great country to be proactive and speak up for the many great things that they do on behalf of all Americans.
AgriPulse Open Mic has been sponsored by the crop insurance industry, protecting over 272 million acres of farmland across the U.S. Crop insurance is key to the financial stability of America's farmers and ranchers, enabling them to supply our country with food and fiber. Crop insurance, providing peace of mind now and for the future of agriculture.